welcome, welcome to Small Worlds Podcast. My name is Corey O'Flanagan.
And I'm Leanne Davidson. And as always, this episode is brought to you by Avail Car Sharing. Are you traveling this winter? Need a car? Borrow, don't rent it. Avail Car Sharing makes driving easy by connecting locals who have cars with travelers who need cars.
That's right. They are protected by Allstate insurance coverage on every trip. And now they're growing big time. Available in Denver, Chicago, Phoenix, Houston, Dallas, and Salt Lake City.
Ooh, everywhere.
Go ahead and use the promo code SMALLWORLDS. Get $15 off when you book a car. Get us a little credit. And you can learn more at availcarsharing.com.
So today we are speaking with Breck and Buddy from the website Trailing Away. They travel the world whilst house-sitting and or pet-sitting for locals wherever they go, meaning that they can travel for longer, save some money whilst they're doing it. So their site is full of advice on where they go, what they do, and a lot of laughs along the way. So everyone say hello and welcome to Brooke and Buddy.
So guys, I think that one of the things that we need to talk about initially here is how this conversation came to be is the epitome of the name Small Worlds Podcast. And I would like for you guys to try and talk about that story a little bit and just kind of talk about, you know, how you found us and then just go into where things have gone and our connection from there, because I've told a few people and everybody is like, that is out of fucking control.
Yeah, it's so funny because we always are looking for other travelers to connect with and usually doing that on Instagram. So I just happened to find your Instagram account and reached out and said, you know, we'd love to be on the podcast and kind of explain what we were doing and thought it was super cool how you all were traveling and sharing it. And then after we had connected, I think it was about a week or two later, I was on Facebook and saw something that looked like a familiar name being shared by one of my Facebook friends. And sure enough, it was your podcast and it was Leanne's mom sharing the podcast. So I was like, okay, I'm starting to put together that, you know, maybe your logo stood out to me because I had seen it before on Facebook, because we had actually housed and pet sat for Leanne's mom in Scotland
last year, September
for 5 weeks. So, you know, just a small little connection. But yeah, it was very funny. And then I definitely felt like a little bit like a sucker to have to tell you guys that, because I'm like, I didn't think that I like somehow like planned this in some weird way, but it was just a complete
It's just hilarious. And I was giving my mom such a hard time for not sharing everything. I was like, Mom, if you don't support me, who is? And then that must have been the week that I really gave. Well, actually, Corey gave her a hard time. He said something on the phone, and I think that's what struck with her. So she started sharing everything. So that must have been when.
Well, because I remember her telling us about her daughter that goes and does all these adventurous travels. And I think she even had brought up that you had started a podcast when we were there. Or you were thinking about it, maybe. We were like, oh, okay, that's cool. And we just never really, you know, thought about it. And then, you know, just connect like that. And then I know we have the Colorado connection with Corey.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
No, it's really funny to definitely
really
a small
is
world.
A small world. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and then we both just realized that we've left our cars with the company Drift, our sponsor. So that's just another incredible thing. Unbelievable.
Yep.
So I want to kind of get into the meat and potatoes of how you guys travel, because that's essentially why we're here, is just to learn about all these different unique ways that people do things. But to get us from, you know, point A to where we are today, why don't you guys try and, Buddy, why don't you do this? Give me the 2-minute little rundown of how you got to where you are right now.
Okay. So, a couple years ago, I was working a corporate job, 80 hours a week. It was miserable. I had no life, but made good money. So we decided it was time to actually enjoy our lives for our relationship and just to enjoy life. So I quit the job and we traveled the U.S. and Canada in a motorhome for a year with our cat.
With your cat?
Quickly in motor. We had a cat.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Initially,
Is it like one of those cool travel cats that you have on a leash and you go take him out somewhere?
Not so much. She's a very nice, but, yeah, we had her with us for the RV.
Yeah, so she passed away unexpectedly while we were on the road. So we kind of looked at each other and said, you know, if once we lost the cat, we would travel internationally. So we said, you know, are we going to go for it? Or are we just going to, you know, stick it out and do whatever? And so we sold the motorhome for a pretty big loss.
Oh, really?
And then, ended up going upon house sitting and just kind of went for it. And, you know, we're almost 2 years in and it's been amazing.
Okay, so you kind of just stumbled across house and then pet sitting with it.
So it was just kind of a similar situation like we were just talking about. We were just on Facebook and I happened to see a blog that one of my friends liked because she knew the people and they were house sitting and pet sitting. And I was like, oh, you know, maybe that's something we could do. At the time, we were going to run an Airbnb for my aunt and that was going to be kind of our full-time gig. And then we were looking for ways to travel inexpensively on the side, but then that gig fell through and we were like, well, we don't have any other plans of where to live, so let's just start applying to these houses. It's like crazy, and you know, try to get some lined up back to back, and it worked out and we just got straight into it, you know, dove right in instead of easing our way in like we had originally planned. But I feel like that's the best way. You've got to just dive into things sometimes.
Yeah, for sure, commit, you know. And I have to ask, so you said, like, you know, you're just kind of trying to find jobs back-to-back and stuff. Do you choose the destination first, and then you kind of look what's available in that area, or do you just go the complete opposite way and say, okay, I'm going to go and have a look online, see what's available, don't care where it is, and just commit to going there?
Kind of a mix. At first, we decided we wanted to stick around, you know, the Colorado area, so we did some in Colorado and Utah, but so we use a company called Trusted House Sitters to find most of our house sits. We've applied to some other websites, but they just haven't been as successful. So we pretty much use Trusted House Sitters exclusively. And they send out an email every day, twice a day, with new house sits. And of course, they're international. So there's some that are just all over the place, you know. So we kept seeing a couple for Hawaii, and we saw a really, really good one in Hawaii that I think was 3 weeks long.
Nice.
So we were like, well, we'll just. You know, it's going to be kind of a trek to get there, but it would be cool. Not thinking we would get it because we didn't even have any reviews at the time. Yeah. But the people, for whatever reason, really liked us and chose us out of, I think, 30 or 40 applicants. And then after we went to Hawaii, we were like, well, we are really enjoying going to these more exotic places. You know, we've been in Colorado. We've been in Utah. Why are we doing that? So
that's so surprising.
Then we started
you
looking,
enjoyed that, Ma. So surprising.
Sorry, what?
I said it's so surprising you enjoyed going to these exotic places.
Nobody likes Hawaii.
No one likes Hawaii.
So, I think, you know, we always try to like ease our way into things and do it in this, you know, safe way, but it never really works out. We're kind of more go for it people. So we'll try to do it the safe way for about 5 minutes and then we change our minds and just go. Okay. You know, but yeah, so after, while we were in Hawaii, I had always wanted to go to Germany at Christmas time, but it was just one of those expensive trips that we, for some reason, couldn't afford, even though we were making really good money, because, you know, you spend it on all these other things that you don't need for your house or whatever.
That's it, exactly. You're like, oh, this new dress, that costs a couple hundred bucks. Oh, I'm going to get that. But then I can't afford to go on holiday.
Exactly. So at that point, you know, we didn't have any, you know, rent or anything that we were paying. We were just, you know, paying for flights and stuff. So we're like, okay, well, if we can find some longer house sits in Europe, then we can, you know, just try to stay as long as possible and get to the Christmas market. So we ended up finding the house sit for your mom and them, and for 5 weeks in Scotland. They were motorhoming in, I think it was Argentina.
They were indeed.
Yeah. So we were there for 5 weeks. And then because, you know, okay, we're going to be there for 5 weeks, that definitely makes the flight and everything worth it. And then from the UK, it was just so easy to get over to Europe. So we did a few other houses in Spain. We ended up getting a house sit in Munich at Christmas time, which I just like bawled when we got. I was so excited.
Like a dream come true.
It's amazing, you know, and a lot of the places are places we didn't even think that we would want to go explore, like rural Spain and rural France, but it ended up being such cool experiences. And having the pets there is just so nice.
Oh, yeah. So were you looking after Monty and Milo? And I guess Casey was
And Casey, yeah.
Yeah, it was Casey's. Oh, my little baby.
Yeah.
Oh, R.I.P. to Casey as well.
Oh, we're going to have to talk to Sharon about trusting people with limited reviews.
I know, right? Like, Mom, come on.
I think we had a few by the time we talked to her.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. To be honest, we read your website, and the first page had me cracking up just because you brought up the ball thing.
Oh, good.
And I was just like, okay, this is hilarious. You brought up the voluntary testicle removal.
I was like, if they're going to make light of a testicle removal, these are our kind of people.
Yeah. I can see why Mom liked it.
So I'm kind of wondering, since you guys have been doing this for a while now and it seems to be going as well as you could like, do you feel like this is the kind of thing that anybody can do?
Yeah, we really do. You know, when we were in the RV, you know, a lot of people in that kind of place always say, oh, you know, anyone could do it. Go live in a van. And that's not easy. It's horrible. It's wretched. I don't advise it.
Some people love it, but it wasn't for us. And there's a lot of learning curve for it.
Okay. Yeah, but it's also expensive where, you know, the house sitting, you don't have to commit to it. You can, you know, go do a weekend trip to on a house sit. If you want to, you know, go to France, you could find a couple days in France and go enjoy rural France. So really anyone could do it. The cost of memberships to the websites is so small. And, you know, yeah, you have to pay for your own travel and you don't get paid for the gigs, but you know, you're getting free lodging, sometimes of a free car. So it saves a ton of money. And, you know, you get to explore places you otherwise might not ever even have on your radar.
Yeah.
So it seems like if somebody wanted to get into this, you really got to kind of keep an open mind. You've got to be in that mindset of I'm willing to go anywhere as long as they'll take me, at least to start. You can't be too choosy. But then as you kind of build up the profile and everything like that, then you can start being like, well, you know what? Like what you guys are doing, like we're going to do 5 months in Europe and we feel like the large percentage of the time that we're going to be there, we're going to be able to house and pet sit, and then our accommodation is at least going to be covered.
Yeah, definitely. And I know a lot of people kind of have the mentality that we did initially, like, you know, they can take some, especially if they do have a home base. We've met people that are taking sits close by to build up that portfolio of, you know, reviews. So that way when they do want to go, you know, try to go to Europe for an extended time, go to Australia or something, then they already have the reviews, you know, ready when they start applying to the bigger, longer house sits that take a little bit more, you know, persuasion that you can actually handle it for that period of time. I find for a weekend or so, people are pretty, you know, relaxed about it.
They'll get a couple applications and just take one of the first ones. Yeah. I mean, it's 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
How much damage could you do in 2 days? Really?
Yeah. A couple weeks where you're really responsible for a lot. I think people, you know, do ask a lot more questions. And that's something that we've learned is just making sure, you know, even if it's a beautiful, exciting place, like we just still need to ask enough questions for ourselves to make sure that we'd enjoy it. Because we've had some weekend ones where we're like, thank God we didn't commit to a month here, you know, because it was just, we didn't ask questions and it wasn't as comfortable or the animals weren't as good as they had let on.
Can we get in some more details on that? Give us some of the
details.
Yeah,
this is, I think, one of our questions down the road, but I'd love to hear like a horror story
or
two.
Give us a story. Story time.
About your walk in the mountain.
Well, oh, you know,
well,
straight
this one's
away.
Not really
but it was not enough information given on the area.
You got catfished. So you got catfished.
We were
by a house.
Dogs and a cat in the mountains in Colorado. You know, lovely area, really secluded, very peaceful. And, you know, two of the dogs were able to roam the property free. It's not fenced in. They're dogs. They're mountain dogs. They go roam. And the homeowners told us about a hike up to a natural spring. And they said one of the dogs knows the way. Just follow the dog. So one day I went with the dog to go find this natural spring. And we come across a deer carcass on the way and some bear feces. And the dog keeps running up and barking. And then it would come back to me and bark. And it would pass me. And, you know, I would ask the dog, I'm like, do you want to keep going or are we going back home? And we kept going. And then we finally come up to an opening in the woods. And the dog's outside of the tree line just barking into the tree. So I look off and he's barking at, you know, a 400-pound bear. 20 feet away from him.
Oh, no.
So I start backing up. Of course, the dog charges the bear, and I'm like, great, I'm going to watch this dog get murdered.
I'm
2 miles away from home, and I don't actually know the way home. I know a direction I can walk. So, you know, dog charges the bear, starts running around barking at the bear. The bear actually didn't seem interested at all. So once I got far enough up the hill, the dog came running to me. Then, you know, we finally get back home, or I get back home, and Brooke can tell, like, something happened. The dog shows up an hour later, apparently went back to the dead deer carcass, ate all the dead deer, came back home, threw it all up. So we called the homeowner, said, hey, this is kind of what's happening. They're like, oh, yeah, the dog will go eat dead deers on occasion. He'll throw it up. He'll feel better. He won't do it again for 6 months. They were also really excited. Yeah. Then they were also really excited to hear how well the dog did with a bear, because they've never encountered a bear on the trail. They have bears on their property on occasion, but never while they were out hiking. And then just to, you know, throw the kicker in, they informed me that the area that I walked through where the dead deer was is actually called the Mountain Lion Killing Grounds. So, obviously, you know, that was just a lot of information I didn't really have going into that hike.
They didn't really need to send you in that direction. They could have sent you to a neighbor's hot tub or anything, you know? Run you a hot bath.
Unbelievable. Well, I got it. That's pretty incredible. Thank goodness that the dog was okay. I mean, that's just something that's...
You can imagine what do you that. Do? You can imagine that in one of your reviews, wasn't it? Like, Brooke and Buddy were great. The house was in great. But my dog came back in. You know, my dog never came back.
Yeah.
Eaten by a bear.
Great house sitters in terms of pet sitting, so.
I know. We've tried to stop taking house sits like that. That we're, because at first we were like, you know, just pretty much, you know, whatever. If that's what you normally do, it's fine. But we've done a couple of those mountain house sits where they're like, well, you know, the cats roam free, so if they don't come back, it probably got eaten by a mountain lion. But it's just a risk we're willing to take because they like being outside. And I'm like, I get that, but also this pet is, like, my responsibility right now.
Do you know how much responsibility you're putting on my shoulders?
Yeah. Legally, you need to come up with some sort of waiver that people need to sign, and then also you just have to work on, like, not carrying the guilt of an animal dying in your presence.
Yeah, but you just would, wouldn't you? You just couldn't help it. Like, fuck.
Oh, I know. Brutal. Totally. I'm always like, not on my watch, guys.
I'm curious about if we talk about some more logistics of this way of traveling. How far in advance are you guys booking? And then, obviously, you know, if you're saying, let's say that first booking over in Europe didn't work out, but you'd flown over there, what do you do if someone cancels?
We've talked about that because, I mean, you just kind of have to have those contingency plans. Luckily, there's always things coming up. The website we used is based out of Brighton
in the
UK. So there's a ton of options in the UK, like, because, you know, they started there and that's kind of where their core base of people using it live. So we know when we're in Europe, okay, if something falls through, we can just start applying to things in the UK and get over there, and then we can probably just hang out there until we figure things out, which is, we always end up back over. We're in Isle of Wight right now.
Oh, nice.
So we always kind of end up over here when we're in between things and can't really find something. But, we just, you know, it has to be somewhere we'd go anyways. So if it does fall through, you know, we have credit cards. It's not the ideal, but, you know, you throw up a cheap room on a credit card.
And sometimes you do just need to spoil yourself if you're having a bad time, you know? Spoil yourself.
We do a lot of things in between sets. Sometimes, like, the Germany set, we had planned 3 weeks before where we didn't have anything on purpose because that was always my dream trip. So we just went and we saw, like, almost 40 Christmas markets just wandering around Germany. And we went into, like, 40. Switzerland and Austria, Liechtenstein and stuff. And it was a blast. We spent a ton of money. And afterwards, we were like, man, house sitting's really a much better plan because we don't spend this money. But it was really fun.
Wow, so you went from dreaming of going to a German market, never been to one, and then you went to 40. I'd be like all marketed out. I couldn't do anymore.
I know. Yeah, I'm like, after that, I was like, that was amazing, but I'm cool if we don't go. I thought I was going to drink Glühwein every night. Like, by the third night, I just couldn't drink another Glühwein.
Well, you've got 40 years worth of German markets out of your system now. So, 40 years, and you need to go to another one.
I know. No, it's so funny. But, yeah, I guess for the planning ahead, we've been really bad at it for the most part, aside from, you know, if we see one that we really like, we'll apply and then kind of have that out there in the future. But otherwise, we've been, I think, maybe a little too picky. Yeah. So we try to hold out for ones we're really, really excited about. And we're trying to do better about having a few we're really excited about. And then some that, you know, maybe aren't in a super cool place, but have really chill pets, like, that we can look forward to getting some work done.
Yeah, it's like
which
a nice
is kind of
break.
What we're doing now.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
so it's
cool.
More of a break.
I think that's so funny. I can just see, like, scrolling through the website being like, give me a castle in Switzerland. Give me a castle in Switzerland.
With a really cute dog.
I know. No, it's crazy. Like, we, you know, with the website, how it works, we have, you can set, like, notifications using their app. So when something comes up, you know, that you are looking forward to, it dings you and you can apply right away because there is kind of a competitive nature to it. Because there's a lot of people doing it now. Yeah. So one of ours that we did plan ahead, we're going to be in Iceland starting at the end of this month for 45 days.
Oh, my God. That's
over
be
Christmas.
Oh, that's amazing.
You're so going to see Northern Lights.
Yeah,
you're going to go stay in an igloo. Wait, I'm thinking of Norway.
No,
but
Iceland has it.
Iceland has that too, right?
Pretty much since we began, we were like, if there's a long one in Iceland, we'll go. Because we know it's expensive to get there and expensive there. But if we, you know, don't have to pay to stay, then...
Well, that's it. It makes such a big difference.
Wow.
Yeah.
Saving those extra pennies.
Even planning it, we did a camper van road trip to Iceland, I think 4 or 5 years ago, for 2 weeks. And we spent about 10 grand, I remember, because we saved up a ton and we were super excited about it. And we were happy to spend it at the time. But now I'm like... We would probably be like trying to spend $5,000 on this trip for 45 days, which is just insane to have the comparison.
Yeah. Well, that's it, because Europe is so expensive anyway. So doing something like the house sitting, or as well, if anyone's listening who is looking for house sitters, it's such an amazing experience, because then you don't have to, like, even like, I know Mum, she puts the dogs in kennels quite a lot, but I know that gets quite pricey. So yeah, it's a really cool experience.
Yeah.
On both ends.
I love all these ways of connecting people. I think it's just brilliant.
Yeah, we've made so many friends. Like I said, we're Facebook friends with Sharon. You know, I mean, that's such a, in a more, you know, business atmosphere, we probably wouldn't be Facebook friends, but we do, you know, we have dinners with the people we house sit for. Sometimes we'll stay a couple extra days if they have a spare room and they invite us and, you know, we don't have anywhere to go, then we end up spending some more time together. And we've made some really good friends that are all over the world, and they travel too, so we're constantly, you know, hearing great stories and
hooking up. Exactly. And it's the other way around as well. If any of your the clients that you've worked with, and then you have a friendship with them, if they ever come to the States and you happen to be there, or, you know, all over the show, it's
or
quite
they
nice.
Need a Subaru, you just send them right over to Drift.
There you go. That's it.
Good work, yeah.
Okay, so I have an honesty question. I have a question. I want you to be completely honest. Okay. Don't worry. I told you, Mum is terrible. She's probably not listening. If you are, sorry, Mum. I take responsibility. How often do you just get curious about the house? Like, you just want to snoop around, you know? I know that they've got an attic in their house that I was super curious about. And it's not actually my house, but I went in there and then I found, like, this, like, cavern of alcohol, like, hundreds of bottles that they'd smuggled from Europe in countless trips just because they felt like they had to. So, come on, you must snoop around sometimes in attics or basements or...
Yeah, and I want to preface this a little bit, because as we were talking to you guys... We got into this conversation yesterday about snooping through strangers' houses, and we have a clear difference between where people's comfort levels are.
I think basements and attics, I'm like, there could be a murderer in there. Or, you know what? I'm just curious. If someone's told me I can't go. Exactly.
Yeah.
If someone's told me I can't go there, of course I'm not going to go there. But if there's, it's not been said, and there's just an attic, and I'm bored one day, or I think there's going to be a ghost
if,
or something,
let's
go
look. If the rules given say that you have to stay in the guest bedroom, Leanne will definitely stay in the master.
Hey,
that's
I never
pretty
stayed
much where we're
don't,
at.
Oh, wait, no.
Yeah. Well, don't tell us if you ever get in a house sitting to future people.
Yeah, don't worry, no one. I'm not interested. I like sleeping in a van. It's all right.
Yeah. I kind of have like strict rules. I mean, we both, it's almost like a karma type thing. Like I'm not like big into karma, but I'm just like, man, if this was my house, what would I not want people to do? You know, like we try not to do. And if it was my house, I'd probably have like a lot more that I wouldn't want people to do. I find it like so many people are like, oh, just make yourself at home, you know, dig through my cabinets if you're looking for something. And if it was my house, I'd be like, this is the cabinet you can use. Like, I'd be really weird about it.
You have one assigned drawer. I've given you one drawer. Don't you look in any other drawer but your drawer. See, I'm like the other way around. I'd be like, help yourself to anything, whatever. Needs to borrow a bikini,
I think I'm changing like where I would get like that. But at least when we owned our house, I was really particular about things and kind of like OCD, so I'm obviously doing this kind of lifestyle, you get over things like that, but
Well, you know what, I've seen the house prices in Colorado, they're expensive, so that it should be your baby.
Yeah.
That's your baby.
Exactly.
Yeah, I wouldn't say we snoop, but there are, you know, when we're looking for things, I need to go look in cabinets, and you know, of course we've found open cabinets, and you know, there's the slew of alcohol and other things. It's like, okay, you know, but I think we don't really snoop. I know we've had houses where they actually lock the master bedroom or something like that, and that's fine.
But I feel like that's so rare, especially like on a longer house sit, because God forbid, like, you know, the window was left open or something. Like, we kind of try to go and peek, you know, just pop our heads into most of the rooms when we're doing longer house sits, especially just in case they forgot to close a window or there's a pipe that's leaking or something. That way we can catch it. I guess the only thing that I really do... Okay. I like to grab a book off of the shelf, and I feel like if they have an open bookshelf, then that's kind of, you know, what it's there for. But there have been a few occasions where I find like an old picture in a book, and then I feel like really like weird and uncomfortable.
Yeah,
because
like you kind of run over the line. Like, it's probably there for a reason, that picture in that spot.
So I have to like leave it there and make sure it doesn't fall out. But especially once you're halfway through a book and you find something, you're like, well, I want to finish the book, but now I feel weird about it.
Yeah, right.
So that's probably not my thing.
Yeah. And so obviously you pet sit a lot as well as house sit. They kind of come hand in hand. Is there any kind of like, would you just, obviously you get lots of cats and dogs, maybe the occasional hamster or goldfish. Is there any kind of animal that you would just say, no? You know what? I'm not about that. I'm not going to house it with that animal there. Scorpion, cobra, rat.
Yeah, I don't like snakes. I wouldn't be comfortable like sleeping in a house with a snake, especially like a big snake. If it was like kind of like a little snake, and even then I'd be a little creeped out. But if it was, you know, like a boa or something, there's no way you couldn't pay me enough money to sleep in a house like that.
I was literally thinking about this because I used to live in a house when I was in college in Milwaukee, and we, for one summer, babysat for 3 months, 2 7-foot boas. And like, we had to have like these live live mouse feeding parties, and well, we didn't have to, we did.
Weird Wisconsin boys right there.
But
else
I was
to
just
do.
Like, that got me thinking, like, if you like come across something, they're like, yes, like watch our beautiful mansion and like on the coast of outside of Barcelona, but
we have
like 3 snakes and they do not have cages, and you just got to find them and feed them, and we just have like mice running around the house to feed them. But it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Like, are you guys gonna take on that kind of thing?
No,
no. There's definitely a limit. Well, and it's also the review thing. So if we don't feel like we can do a good job and it's risking getting a bad review, like Buddy was starting to bring up the horses, you know, we don't know what to do with horses unless it's a situation where the neighbor really does everything. If you could just go check on them, and if there's an issue, let the neighbor know. Like with something like that, we'd be okay with. And we've seen some like that. But, tell them about the Belize one. That was like not okay with me.
Oh,
we applied to one in Belize.
Yeah, we actually applied to one in Belize because it sounded really interesting. It wasn't in Belize City. It was more in the rainforest.
It was definitely in the rainforest.
Yeah,
like in the middle of the rainforest.
But, we were and he's telling us, you know, kind of some of the issues. He's like, you know, it is hurricane season, but we're far enough inland. you know, nothing bad will happen, but if any tree branches fall, you need to clean them up and you need to watch out for the
Florida land
snakes. And if you get bit, you're not going to make it to the hospital. You're dead. And so we get through this part and he's like, oh yeah, my wife was walking the dogs the other day. One of them got into a slight little scuffle with the jaguar. So, you know, just be aware of that. And then he's like, oh, also, you know, if you get up in the middle of the night, don't walk around the house without shoes on, but check your shoes before you put them on, because scorpions and centipedes and spiders and everything else will be in the house and in your shoes. So after that call, we're just like, you know what?
I don't think this is for
that
us.
That one's not happening.
Wow. Just a way. It's like they might as well say, don't go.
I know. Yeah, but it was, oh, and then it was an Airbnb. So we'll see some like this in some different countries where you're actually like holding the money in the house and like, or so they had like workers that like clean the Airbnb and like the lawn and stuff. So you're responsible for paying them in cash. So I'm like, we're just going to be sitting in their house for 2 months with all this cash, like handing it out to people. It's just like a really weird situation.
Yeah, just sat in the armchair, you know, like feel like Dr. Evil, like you come. Yeah. 10 yeah. for you, 10 yeah. for you. That's funny.
Yeah, but and there are people that just go for these, and we're in a couple of Facebook groups. And I mean, we've heard horror stories about, oh, it seemed beautiful, so I went for it, and, you know, it was a nightmare, and I didn't enjoy it at all. So we've just really tried to balance, like, okay, it's pretty, but what are we really getting ourselves into?
Yeah. And so, like, on the other side of that as well, so obviously you get these animals that you don't really feel comfortable sitting. You obviously get those amazing pets, those lovable dogs in particular, that you just, you must have a hard time leaving them behind.
We do, in a sense, like we definitely have some that we miss, but I think the big thing for us is it's not like we're handing them over to someone that's like beating them or not taking care of them. Yeah. Like obviously people that are on the site because they feel bad taking their pets to a kennel or a cattery or anything like that. You know, they want them to be loved and taken care of and comfortable. So we're handing them back to owners that love them. And then, you know, when we are friends with them on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, which usually ends up happening, we still get to see photos and get updates and stuff. And, you know, we're very responsible people and we love the pets and take really good care of them when we're there. But it is kind of a relief once you've handed it over and you're like, okay, I was a success. Nothing happened. You know, it's not my responsibility.
Yeah. And so basically love them, but don't get attached to them. I'd have a hard time with that.
Yeah. So I mean, we definitely fully fall in love with every single one. Oh, yeah. And there's been a few I've like cried and buddies even teared up when it's time to leave because we've really gotten attached. But, you know, we know that they're fine and that they're happy in their home and they couldn't possibly come with us. So that's not even.
So we're sitting here in a windowless home that we're lucky enough to stay in while we're here in India. That's got like probably like similar to what you guys were running into in Belize, but we're on the second floor of a place, so I don't think that we have to worry about as many critters getting up here. And there's cars driving by honking, and it's just third world.
Monkeys climbing outside.
We can't have our fan on right now because we can't disturb the microphone. And I'm wondering, with these kinds of things in mind, what you guys think about what the way that you're traveling, does it work in third world countries? Or is it mostly got to be in developed countries?
You know, we've seen quite a few. I mean, there are quite a few in India and Thailand and stuff. But most of the homes, even the ones we've sat for, are expats. So they've, you know, moved away from mostly the UK. So they're in pretty nice houses, nicer areas. So, you know, they're still in the third world countries, but, you know, they're not Jack, basically.
Yeah, they've got the aircon, they've got the all the comforts that one would want.
Yeah, and because there's photos and information on the site, if it does kind of look like an uncomfortable thing, and I mean, we're pretty adventurous, you know, we would maybe for like a week or 2 weeks, but if it's, you know, 3 months of no air conditioning and an uncomfortable situation, we might not do it.
Yeah, we had one outside Athens that didn't have aircon. It didn't have fans. And unfortunately, it was extremely warm. So our whole time there, it was cooler to sit outside than it was to be inside the house.
Wow, I can imagine that because I was in Greece then. It was hot. Real hot. And so for you guys, what does the future hold? Like, what's next for you guys?
Yeah, 5 months in Europe. You guys are going to be doing that, kind of testing the idea, it seems like, a little bit. And then what's the plan after that?
So we've got the 45 days in Iceland, and then we head back to the States. Brooke's best friend's having a baby. And then as of right now, the only thing we have booked is we are headed to Australia for 2 months starting in May.
Yeah, so...
Does the same kind of idea of travel apply there?
Yeah, so we have a house sit there in the same place in the Queensland area for 2 months. One of the things that you have to be careful about with international house sitting is it is really just a gray area. It's not illegal. It's not... Yeah, you know, anything that you, you know, shady doing, but if you tell, you know, the border control, like, hey, I'm house sitting, it is one of those place situations where depending on who you get, they might be like, oh, well, that's a job or that's volunteering. And, you know, you need special visas. So we always just say that we're traveling, and we usually...
Our first night is basically we always have a hotel that first night, because sometimes crossing into a new country, they want to know where you're staying and how you can afford your trip if staying long term. So, you know, we always have a hotel that first night, and then we have the credit cards to say, you know, we can fund our trip with credit That's cards. Smart. We're not looking for work.
That's smart. Do you know whereabouts in Queensland you're going?
Hervey Bay. Yeah.
Oh, it's so beautiful there. My old boss lives there. Actually, I did my 2 years in Oz and I loved it. It's so nice. You can get all of the islands, like Fraser Island and everything on the boat there. You'll love it. It's so nice.
Yeah, that's the homeowner that we're sitting for there is like the kindest person ever. She told us we needed to come early so that way we could make sure we go see all the islands before she leaves. And we have to, you know, be a little bit more, you know, time conscious with the cat there. But we're really excited, and we've never been to Australia before. Before we started house sitting, the only place we had really been was Iceland and then Canada in the motorhome. So we are at like 29 countries now, just traveling through Europe, doing the house sitting and going to some places in between. So we've seen a lot of Europe for the last 2 years, and we're excited to do Australia, New Zealand. You know, we'd love to get over to Southeast Asia and stuff next year, especially we're trying to be more budget conscious. So we're like, okay, we need to head in that direction where things are a little less expensive.
It is definitely a lot cheaper. It's possible to live cheap out here.
It is, but I got to be honest, this trip has surprised us, and maybe it's been some of the things that we've been doing, but we've been spending a little bit more than we had originally thought. Finally, India we've gotten to a place where we're hitting our budget and we're doing really well with it, but leading up to this, like Indonesia and then Nepal, we went trekking there and stuff like that. That just kind of was a little bit surprising.
It's not as cheap as it used to be.
It's not,
but it's still cheap.
it's still cheaper. But it's definitely something to look into, and we're trying to obviously put out information about that so that people are aware. Yeah. So you guys be ready, be calm, and breathe, because rapid fire is coming.
The rapid fire. All right, so we'll do for the first one, we'll try and, because there is two of you, so we'll try and direct each question at each person.
So Brooke, whether it's location, style, decor, smell, whatever, what's the strangest home you guys have slept in?
The
one with the kids in Hawaii.
That was my first thought too.
Yeah,
I mean, that's... So we did one, and I love this family. We're friends with them, but we met them through Instagram, so this was the only one we've done off-site. We just met them through Instagram, and they needed a house sitter, and they were in Hawaii, so we're like, sure. So we didn't know anything. We didn't really ask a lot of questions. We're like, yeah, Hawaii, great. And for some reason, we didn't, like, get the memo that they had 4 kids. So they invited us to stay 2 days early, and... we got there and they were like, oh, okay, so you're going to sleep in the boys' room and they're just going to sleep in the living room. And we both kind of looked at each other like, oh, shit, we didn't get that memo. Yeah, which is fine. But then I felt so bad that, like, we could have just gotten an Airbnb nearby. I didn't have to take these kids' room. So the house was fine and everything. It was 4 kids and, you know, 2 adults and then us sleeping in a 3-bedroom, like, kind of smaller house. with no air conditioning in Hawaii. So it was like, I was on a twin bed and Buddy was on an air mattress and the boys on the floor in the boys' room. And then the boys were sleeping like on the couch
and in the garage
On like another air mattress. And it was just this hilarious thing for 2 days, but they were such a nice family and the kids, they were all teenagers. So they kind of thought it was weird and uncomfortable, but they just kind of went with it. And, but that was probably one of the weirdest situations.
I have another one for rapid fire. Are you ready? So I'll aim this one at Buddy. Clear your mind. What's the weirdest thing you've opened the fridge door to? Has there been any weird food? Or the cupboard?
I'd have to be honest. I don't really cook a lot. So I only go...
Oh, there we go.
Something and she generally coaches me where it is.
There you go. When you go to more different cultures, maybe this is something that you're going to start finding. I always look in the fridge. In, like, my friends' houses, everything. I'm like, what are people eating? I find it really interesting. I'm also a weirdo, so.
No, I mean, but I think because we've been in a primarily English-speaking, or if they're not English-speaking, they are probably from the UK or Canada or the US for the houses that we've done. We haven't really had. There's definitely been some cultural things. Like, in Spain, they eat at 10 at night, and we thought that we were going to die because these people were never going to, like, let us eat. But, you know, other than that, we haven't really seen any too weird of foods. Leaving the eggs on the counter was something strange to get used to. You put them in the fridge in the U.S., and that was something. But they do that pretty much all over the U.K. and Europe, so we've just gotten used to it.
Okay. Third one here is, what's the best thing about traveling in your style, Brooke?
I definitely love that it's just an opportunity to live basically a normal existence as much as you can being a full-time traveler. I think it's a lot more sustainable for us. We love the in-between go, 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 see everything trips that we do. But after a week or two, you know, we're just exhausted. We're not in our early 20s. We're trying to, you know, run businesses and sleep regularly, those kind of things. So yep. By the time we get to a house, that we're usually really ready to just settle in and still see the area that we're in, but at a slower pace and just enjoy things like going to the market and trying to find, you know, some new foods we haven't tried and cooking at home. And we really get a lot out of being around the pets. We both are big animal lovers. So when it's been a few weeks and we haven't gotten to have any little furry pals to hang out with and make us laugh, we start to feel the draw back to that. So, and just the connection with other people. I'm sure, I don't know how you all are, but it's just the two of us. We're together a lot. We get to where we're like, thank God we can talk to some other human that has other things to talk about.
We agree.
It's really true. Yeah. As two people who have done a lot of travel independently, either on our own or with, you know, friends, not necessarily significant others, we've discovered as a travel couple now that it does raise the bar on difficulty of finding people that will engage with you. It's just harder to meet people for whatever reason, and it's kind of this question that's lingering that we're hoping to try and figure out a little bit, because we feel like we are very open and we're both very outgoing and don't feel like, if I wanted to go talk to a group of people and leave Leanne behind, she wouldn't be pissed off at me. She'd be like, go get him.
Thank God he's left me for
Yeah, she'd be like, fuck it, yeah, I can breathe. <Exactly. laughs> Right. But no,
I'll go speak to someone my age.
It's very interesting. It's just something that exists, and I don't necessarily understand why. But I think what you guys are doing is really, really cool. I hadn't... The idea of it kind of... Couch surfing is like kind of the root of what you guys are doing, but you're taking it to another level. And I just think that that's so awesome, because there's so many people that want to come out and do these kinds of things and go and travel long term and change their lives, and they just can't figure out how to do it. And you guys are showing people that you don't have to go stay in hostels. You don't have to go do this thing. There's another way to do it where you can have the comforts of home. It just takes a little bit of planning and a little bit of knowledge of getting there. And so kudos to you guys for figuring this out, because I think that that's really, really cool. And we want to give you a chance now just to plug yourselves, give the audience a little bit of information about where to find your website, your social media, any of that stuff. And then we'll take it from there and just kind of wrap it up.
Okay, great. Yeah, thank you. It's been really fun chatting with you. Yeah. It would definitely be great if we could have been in person having a few drinks, but I'm glad that
I know our time difference was different, so we've been sitting here in happy hour hours, and I think we've gone through a bottle of wine.
If it helps, we are drinking wine.
Hopefully you guys
have
coffee.
Well, we've had coffee, but I mean, if we would have known, I could have gotten a wine glass. I'm not picky. But yeah, so we are... We're trailingaway.com is where we share all of our travels and tips for house sitting. We've been really trying to do a lot more sharing of the house sitting lifestyle because it is something that people just find really intimidating. I have a popular blog post that I wrote about like the top questions that we get because it is just funny. Some of the weird things people ask us about, you know, house sitting and, you know, just aren't you uncomfortable sleeping in other people's houses and just trying to share more of what the lifestyle looks like, how it really isn't that weird of a situation. You know, it's no weirder than staying in an Airbnb, especially once you have the home to yourself and there's no one there, you know, to kind of watch what you're doing or anything. So, you know, we like to share that there. And then on Instagram and Facebook, we're just at Trailing Away. So we're pretty easy to follow along with there. We don't do too much on Twitter, but we do have Twitter. We just, if you reach out to us there, we might not see it for a while. But yeah, we have one.
Cool. Well, that works perfectly. We appreciate your guys' time so much. And this was really just amazing to hear about. We've had a couple of people do what you guys did and reach out to us and just be like, you know, we see what you guys are doing, we like it, and we think that we could contribute something. But you guys are the first ones that we were just like, this is unique. This is something I think people should hear about. So keep doing what you're doing, and hopefully we'll check in with you down the road. And thank you for your time.
Good. Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, hopefully our paths will cross eventually.
So thank you, Brooke and Buddy of Trailing Away. If you guys want to find out any more information, remember to visit www.trailingaway.com. And for anybody who may be interested in some honest people coming to look after your house, you know where to find them.
Not us.
Not us. I will snoop in your attic and in your basement.
I will likely clear out your liquor cabinet. Be sure to check us out, smallworldspodcast.com, as always, our Instagram at smallworlds, and you know what? Have yourselves a great 2020.
Dude, happy new year, guys, and remember, subscribe, rate, review!